I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow.
Good evening, Vashon Island. This is the Cats and Jammer Follies, and I am Megan Hastings. We are a travel radio show. And today we have Liamy McNally with us. Liamy is a writer, a publisher, a radio personality, a historian, an all-around character, and he happens to be a cousin. Liamy, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Megan. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Are you guys keeping well?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're just back in the door here in Westport on the west coast of Ireland, next stop America. We were at an institution, it's called, tonight. They were instituting our new Church of Ireland rector in Westport. And it was a woman, not a man, a woman. So,
which is surprising for Ireland.
Well, it's for the Church of Ireland, yeah, which is they're Anglicans. So the Anglican Church on the west coast, which goes all the way from Mayo right down to Kerry, there are more women priests, Anglican priests. In fact, they outnumber the men 2-1.
That's the largest
number of women priests in Ireland in the Anglican tradition are on the west coast. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
So we're just welcoming this woman from Tyrone. She came down from Tyrone tonight.
Oh, nice.
She's from Tyrone. So herself and her husband and their kids are growing up and all that. So we had a lovely evening. Their bishop was there and we met a lot of old friends.
And are you an active member of that church? Or
No, I'm not. No, but you see, I'm an active member of the RC, St. Mary's.
Yeah, that's
across
what
the
I
bridge
thought.
In Westport. The Holy Trinity is the one with the big spire in Westport. But we have a very close relationship to churches in Westport. The Anglican and the Catholic traditions are very close. In fact, years ago, we closed the Catholic church for major renovations, and it was closed for the best part of 6 months.
Oh, that's a long time.
Used to use the Protestant church, the Anglican church, for Mass from Monday through to Saturday.
Is that
and then
the,
on Sunday there? That's the one with the big spire. If you
right there Westport. In Westport. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah. That's... So we used their church for Mass, and then they used to use it on the Sunday, and we would go up to the school hall for Sunday Mass then.
Well, it's nice.
We always had a very close relationship, I have to say.
That's very special because, you know, as history goes, it hasn't always been that amicable.
It hasn't. No. And we're all drinking out of the one pot, as I say. You know, we all have the same source. And, you know, and then you see all this kind of division, then it's crazy, you know. And we have two other Christian traditions in town as well, you know, the evangelicals and all that. So it was great to see some of them there. You know, it was lovely.
That's good. A collection of everyone.
And then I was speaking with the bishop afterwards. He used to be in Kilkenny, which is kind of Midlands South, you know, the Cashel Archdiocese. And he said when he was there, he had six men who were Catholic priests, but who switched over because they got married. And they switched them into the Anglican tradition, the Protestant tradition, and continued ministering in the Protestant church. So we have a lot of that in Ireland too, guys moving over, you know.
And you yourself, you were a Catholic priest.
Still am. It's just that I'm married. There are, I think, seven of us in my town. Seven of us in Westport, believe it or not.
Married to a beautiful woman named Jair.
Yeah. Well, she's my first wife, so she's all right, Jet. You know, we're together now 30-something years. So believe it or believe it not, yeah. 34, I think. Yeah, 34.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time, Megan. It's a long time.
Well, Adam and I, we've had the pleasure to spend a good amount of time with you and Jer. And obviously you guys live outside of Westport in County Mayo. And I know you obviously, well, not obviously, there's nothing obvious. It's kind of funny how we met, actually, because Adam and I walked into, I can't remember her name, who owns that woolen shop in Westport.
Susan Kelly.
Yeah, Susan Kelly. And he said, oh, my wife is a Hastings and her grandfather was from Westport, and then she called you.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And then you came down, and that was how we met, and we've had
that's
the
how we met, yeah.
Yeah, which has been it's been and
we're,
fun.
We're third cousins. That's how we are.
Yeah,
we're third cousins.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, we don't get to hear a lot here in the United States. Well, I'll just say on the West Coast about. Well, you get to hear about Ireland, but not so much about the Irish language. And you and your lovely Jer have a propensity to share your knowledge of it with Adam and I when we're there. And it's so beautiful. And I want to know, I mean, it has such a great history. And
well, I
what does
you
it
how
mean
to, swear
to you?
Can you repeat it to me now? I taught you how to swear in it. Can you repeat that? No, I didn't. If anybody's listening, that now you can swear in Irish, not a swear language.
I find that one hard to believe. There's some tongues
no,
on those
just, it's
Irish.
It's a wonderful language. It's a really old language. It's way older than the English language. It's a Celtic language, and it's got its own roots. It's not rooted in Latin or English or anything like that. It's way, way older than all of those things. And the funny part of our Irish language is all of the greetings in Irish are all like they're like little blessings. So if I meet you on the street, I say, instead of saying hello, I would say Gia Guich, which there are two words, and it literally means the Lord be with you.
Gia Guich.
And your response to me is Gia Smiriguich, the Lord and Mary be with you. That's your response. And then we're just meeting, and then Adam walks around the corner and he sees us and has heard the greetings, and he'll come on and say, Gia Ismira Isporic. So the Lord, Mary, and St. Patrick be with both of you. Oh. And then Jer will walk around the corner and she'll have heard all this. And she'll say, Gia Ismira Isporic is Bridget, St. Bridget, our other saint, national saint, you know. And you can add on then, and as if someone else comes around the corner, you put on the local saints. So that's how it works, you know.
I love how it works.
Yeah. And then like we say, for goodbye, you can say slán, which is a kind of a version of goodbye, but we would always say, like, you know, Bannocht Deort, which is the blessings of God on you. That's aww, the full Irish blessing. And then we have this one when you're raising a glass, you know, you say cheers, and we'd say sláinte.
That's the one most Americans do know.
Yeah, they know, it's S-L-A, A father, which is the accent on the A, which makes it the A sound. S-L-A father, I-N-T, which means, you know, to your health. But it actually comes from the word slánaithear.
Which
is what we would say, if we do a loose translation of it, it's saviour. But if we want to get the literal translation, it's health bringer. It's the term we use for Christ, for Jesus. Uh-huh. Our slánaithear is a Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, our health bringer, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's literally what it means. Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful. There was,
and then you know you're going to confession in Irish then, and you're saying to the priest that you took the Lord's name in vain a few times. You know the way you'd say Jesus, you know, you took the Lord's name in vain. And the Irish of it is like you know, haring me anamán chéirne hías. It literally means, I dragged the name of the Lord down to my own level. That's the literal translation.
That is
that's
a
what
true
it means.
Yeah.
That
insult.
You drag the name of the Lord, the sacred name, down to my level. You know, yeah. So it's lovely, lovely. It's a great language, of course. It's great. It's great. You can, when you're going on holidays, you can speak it, you know, between yourselves. Jer and I, we would speak it, you know, because if you wanted a bit of privacy. But we had a very funny experience one time. We were in Alvor, which is in Portugal, and we went out to this lovely restaurant, and, you know, packed out, you know, we had a table for two and we spoke away in Irish. And I mean, the guy who served us was also the chef because he owned the place. And he kept looking over at us and all this. And I was saying to Jerry in Irish, oh, this guy now is probably wondering which language this is. And at the end of the meal, anyway, he comes over and he says, I'm Will Shiv Creighton here. Are you finished?
Wow.
I looked at Jerry. He looked at me. We both looked at him and said, what the hell? He says, he did his chef training in Ireland. And the one thing he wanted to do when he came to Ireland, as a Portuguese native, he wanted to learn Irish. So
that
he was fascinated
amazing
to hear Irish spoken. Yeah. What were the chances? And we often use it, a lot of us would go on pilgrimages, say, to the Holy Land, you know, Israel, Palestine, the mm-hmm. Holy Land. And then you go into a place and if you knew in the shop, if you knew like, oh, something wrong here, or this place is overpriced, we'd revert to the Irish. we would just revert to Irish, because the one language that a lot of people cannot speak, especially in tourism areas or in pilgrimage areas, is Irish. They'll speak English, French, Italian, Spanish, German, they do Japanese, they do everything else, but they won't do Irish.
No, well, I mean, what do you think the population of Ireland is that speaks Irish now? I mean,
population that speaks it. Well, yeah. You see, in an area where Irish is spoken, where it's designated, officially, it's called a Gaeltacht area. So in Mayo, my county, we have three Gaeltacht areas, which is North Mayo, Carahaig area, parts of Achill, and Tourmacady. And there are this Connemara, then in Galway, you go down to Kerry, cross to Waterford, there's one in Waterford, and there's one up in Meath, believe it or not. And there's also a Gaeltacht area in Canada.
Is there really? No, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
Yeah, there's one area in Canada where Irish is still spoken. But how many out? We have a population of about 5.5 million now. A lot of people will have, as we say, cúpla focal, which literally means a few words. They'll be able to say a few words. They'll be able to do a few greetings, but they wouldn't be able to have a full conversation in it.
Well,
you'd have. But you still have, several hundred thousand, you know.
Yeah.
Hundred thousand who could speak it, you know. It's beautiful. We have our own Irish language radio station and our own Irish language television station.
Well, I was just going to segue into that. When Adam and I are there, oftentimes, like, we'll be at a hotel or something, and we'll turn on the Irish language television. We'll just totally watch programs in it because it's so pretty to hear.
Fabulous, because they do the best historical and heritage programs in the country, way better than our national broadcaster, way better, even though it is national as well. We call it TG Cahir, which is television number four, channel number four. Mm-hmm. But they do fabulous stuff. But the radio station is superb altogether, because the radio station operates from Connemara, which is in Galway, just the next county to us. But they even within that service do a regional service. So they'll say, we're going over to the newsroom, and they'll have national news, and then they'll go to Donegal. So you'll get all the local news from the northern area. They'll go to Connemara. You'll get the local news from the western area, and then they'll go down to Cork, and you'll get all the news, or Kerry, you'll get all the news from the southern area. You know, so it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful radio station, I have to say.
So do you feel like since in the last like 20 years that there is sort of a resurgence in the learning and the sharing? And
absolutely, and I'll tell you why. What we're doing, what has really, really, really blossomed in this country are Gaelscoileanna. Scoil is the Irish word for school. Gaelscoil is a school that everything, once you cross the threshold, you have to speak Irish in every subject.
Oh, wow.
So it's an all-Irish school. So we have a lot of national schools, the primary schools, mm-hmm. you know, the first schools, basically. And they're all from kids who go in, say, from 4 to 12. They're all Irish speaking. So we have a lot of those now. We have one in Westport. There's one in Castlebar. There's one in Claremont. I'd say every town now has a Gaelscoil. And that's a big change over the last, say, 30 years in this country.
That is
a big
change.
What we don't have is the secondary schools in Irish. We have one in Mayo, in Tourmacady, but they're looking for one now. They're trying to get one in Castlebar, which will be a huge, huge step forward. So you'll have basically a high school that will be
all in Irish. Oh, that would be a huge step forward.
You see what happens is the kids come out, the kids who have the Irish then, who are fluent in Irish, they can go into communications quite easily in television or in radio, because they're always looking for people in these the Irish stations. Plus, Irish, as in the Irish language, is now an official language in Europe. Well, so it basically means that when I say Europe, I'm talking about the EU.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, isn't that what Fergal did in Brussels?
That's right. That's right. But our cousin was a translator there. Yeah. God rest him. Yeah. He was a translator in Brussels. So every document that comes out, every official document that comes out of Brussels has to be translated into several languages, one of which is Irish.
It's a huge step forward. It really is.
Yeah, it is a huge step for the Irish. Huge step for Irish, yeah, it is. But we still, you know, there's the big question here. How is it if I go to school as a young guy at four and I go to a regular school? I learn Irish as one language. Is it same as I learn English or I learn maths? And then I go to secondary school, I still learn Irish. So from 4 to 12, I have 6 years in there and I have 5 years in secondary school. So I have 11 years of education. And most people who come out at the end of it, the end of high school, they still are not conversant in Irish. They couldn't have a conversation. Oh, so our whole methodology is really, really suspect. There's something wrong. Whereas if you say, go back to Israel, Israel got us, you know, it was declared its own country in what, 1948. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they did was brought back Hebrew as the national tongue, the spoken language. Yeah. No, we didn't do it in Ireland. We just didn't do it. You see, our official languages, you go to our constitution, are English and Irish.
It should, yeah. But I mean,
we just didn't do it right to nurture the language.
Do you think it could ever change?
I think absolutely. And it goes back to the Gaelscoileanna. You have to start with the schools. Yeah. I remember your relation, my grandmother, God rest her. She died in 1963, but she went teaching out in Derry Moor, where your ancestors came from as well.
Which is so
beautiful.
She
taught in the school there from 1911 or so. 1911. Now, in 1911, we were part of the UK. It was the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. That's what it was called. And then we got our freedom then, 1921. And immediately afterwards, in 1922, Granny introduced Irish into the school as the first language with the new kids who came in. So by the time they finished, 1922 to 28, they were, by 1928, it was an all-Irish school. So then after that, it was all-Irish.
What a beautiful woman that she did that.
Yeah. Oh, she was a wonderful, wonderful lady. God bless her. She was a wonderful lady, you know. And the sad part of it, here we are speaking. I'm speaking to you. I'm from Westport, and here we are speaking to you in America. We laid to rest my last American aunt today in Boston, in Worcester in Boston. That's Brijo, my granny's daughter, yeah. Aww. She was 90. So we laid her to rest today. You knew her, Brijo. She was the loveliest woman. God bless her. As I said, she was great. I used to say to her, you know, she came from a family of 12.
Oh, my God.
My grandmother had twins, and they died 3 weeks after birth. So she said if she ever got pregnant again, she lived the other side of Crowpatrick, the Holy Mountain, which was about 10 miles from Westport. She said if she ever got pregnant again, she would go into town, because she was from the town of Westport, and she would give birth with her parents in her own home, because it was in town near a doctor if there was any difficulty. Sure. And that's where they were all born there. Every one of them were born there.
We're gonna pause for a second and play a bit of Irish music. That is your recommendation.
My recommendation is Matt Malloy is a fraud.
Leamy, would you tell us a little bit about this piece of music?
Well, the first piece of music is by a man who lives here in Westport and has a thriving pub in Westport, but he is he's the flautist with the traditional Irish group, the Chieftains. And this is a piece of his own music. It's called The Humours of Max. He wrote it in honour of his dog, a lovely Alsatian that he had for years. Aww. Matt Malloy and The Humours of Max.
We actually have a little dog named Max, and I'm going to have to take this piece and bring it home and play it for him. Let's see if he can dance around the kitchen.
Yeah. Beautiful piece of music. Beautiful.
Is there anything else you want to share with us about Irish language? About, you know, I had so many different questions to ask you, and then it's so much easier just to speak and, you know, just talk about it.
Well, just... On the Irish language, one thing about the Irish language, people think that it's just the Irish language, but there are so many dialects within the Irish language. If I hear somebody from Belfast or the North or Donegal speaking, I have fierce difficulty trying to understand the accents.
And they have their imagine.
They have their own vocabulary as well for words. And then the West I can understand quite easily. And then down South, they put the emphasis more so in the second syllable of a word, whereas we would put it on the first syllable of a word. And then, like anywhere else, like in English, you have, you know, local dialects, local words, local cant, we call it here, local speech. Like in Westport, we have our own words for certain things. But it's the same in Irish. There are certain words that are just special or peculiar to certain areas. And then there's a guy called Manchan Magán. He's a broadcaster and a writer. And his second last book was called 32 Names for a Field. And that's the joy of the Irish language. You know, we might say pork is just a field, but it depends on the type of field it is. And there are all different words for all different emotions, levels of emotion, descriptions and all that. And if you go to place names, like say, my ancestors came from Derry Moor. So what does Derry Moor mean in English? It's nothing. It doesn't exist. It's just a cheap anglicization of Derry Moor, which is the big wood. That's all it means.
Well, you helped me find my cousin on my grandmother's side.
And down in Derry Moor.
Yeah.
And then you go to Towny Slynnon, which is our townland just below Derry Moor. Towny Slynnon means nothing in English, but in Irish it's Towny Slynnon. It's like the hill that looks like the shoulder blade.
That's such a beautiful description.
Irish place names are very descriptive.
They're very specific.
They're very, very descriptive. Very descriptive. There's a poor man died a few years ago, a young man called Fiacra McGowan, God rest him. And the greatest legacy he left in this county, he did 10 volumes of Loganamnacha Muyo. Loganamnacha is the Irish for place names. He did 10 volumes on the place names.
That is crazy.
Within our county. It's unbelievable.
Just in Mayo.
An unbelievable legacy to leave. You know, it's an unbelievable legacy. And you see, words change meanings over the years. Like, let's even take the English word awful. If I bring you into St. Mary's Church in Westport, you'll see an inscription from 1814 or 1813 when the foundation stone was put in. This is the awful place of God. And awful... way back at that time, was the same as you Yangs would say, awesome. Full of awe.
Yes, awful, us Yangs do say awesome too much.
Whereas awful now for us has negative connotations. You say it was awful, it was terrible. So it's the very same in Irish, you know, words change their meanings, you know, words change their meanings. And the great thing about Irish is, you know, you can really curse people in Irish without using bad language. You know, you'd say, "Oh, my chach mila walachter." You know, it's like, "God, that doesn't sound good. What's he saying?" Well, he's just kind of called down 7,000 curses on you. That's what it is.
It seems like 7,000 curses fall on you. The one about bringing God down to your level. That's a pretty bad one. It sounds like.
I don't know
that you can get worse than that.
I brought the name of God down to myself, down to my level.
I love the way that sounds. Leamy, we have to end here soon, but there's one phrase that I always ask you to repeat when I'm there, and it's about the swallows. Would you share that?
It's about
the swallows every year.
Oh, the swallows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, swallows are here. The swallows are here. We love the swallows.
No, but the phrase is, I'm going to butcher it because I never remember it correctly, but it's, may we all be lucky to come back this time of year when
when we see the swallows, we ring around each other and we say, you know, the swallows have arrived. And the response we'd always say in Irish, Gomeramij bio eganam shoharisht. May we be alive this time next year.
I love that.
And you'll always get someone who'll shout if there's a group of people and something like that happens and they want to say the little prayer like, may we all be alive this time next year, someone will always shout, I'll say goal. and having a drink. So there's always one. But that's it. May we all,
That is it. That is. It's a beautiful way to end. And I hope that we see you very soon, Liamhnaigh. Thank you so much for coming on.
As we say, Le Coon of Jay. Please God.
Le Coon of Jay.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you very much. This was the Cats and Jammer Follies, and I'm Megan Hastings.